Brothers and sisters, this is God's word to us this morning. Now, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And a man lame from birth was being carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple that is called the Beautiful Gate, to ask alms of those entering the temple. Seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked to receive alms. And Peter directed his gaze at him, as did John, and said, "Look at us." And he fixed his attention on them, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, "I have no silver and gold, but what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and raised him up, and immediately his feet and ankles were made strong. And leaping up, he stood and began to walk, and entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and recognized him as the one who sat at the beautiful gate of the temple asking for alms. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. So far, God's word. Let's ask him to bless this word to us this morning. Let's pray. Gracious God and Heavenly Father, Lord, we do thank you for the preciousness of this book that we hold in our hands. We thank you that you have freely given us your word. We thank you for the blessing of being able to open your word in this country without having to worry about persecution. Bless your word to us this morning, we pray. Feed us with your word. Nourish us. We pray this through the work of your Holy Spirit in the name of our only Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, I was walking through one of the shopping malls in Christchurch yesterday, and as I was doing that, there were a number of people collecting for Parkinson's, collecting for Parkinson's, and there were a number of people throughout the mall. And here in New Zealand, it's all done quite nicely and decently. You can walk past them, and even though you might feel a little bit guilty, as long as you avoid eye contact, you don't need to talk to them, you don't need to say anything to them, you don't need to give anything to them, you can just walk on by. But that wasn't the case back in this time of our miracle here. The time is on that afternoon, and it was in the afternoon, about 3 PM, when Peter and John were walking up to the temple to pray. If you were going to the temple on that day, you would have had to run a gauntlet of people on the side of the road calling out, "Give me money, help a poor beggar, help me please." As they were collecting alms, and boys and girls, if you haven't picked it up, alms are not human alms. It's a word for money. They were asking and begging for money. And so you would have to walk this line. Challenged, "Give me some money." And Peter and John walked up to the temple, and as they did that, they saw this lame man from birth. Now we know from the next chapter, in chapter 4, that this man was 40 years old. Our passage tells us that he'd been carried out up to the temple to beg. And as Peter and John meet this man, they give him a gift. But not the gift that he was initially looking for. They give him something so much greater. And this morning we're going to look at that gift. We're going to see what that gift brings, and also the wonder that comes through this gift as well. And this gift, brothers and sisters, friends, has relevance to us this morning, because the gift that is given to this man is spiritual healing, eternal hope, the same gift that is given to us through Jesus Christ. Peter gives to this man, to this beggar, to this lame man, but it is actually Jesus who gives the gift. Jesus, as he continues to work through the apostles, Jesus, as he works through the book of Acts, through the Holy Spirit. So this morning we're going to see that Jesus' gift brings healing, joy, and wonder. Jesus' gift brings healing, joy, and wonder, and those three things are our three points this morning. The first thing is that Jesus' gift brings healing. Now, as I said, this man had been 40 years a beggar, 40 years without walking. We read in our passage that he was placed beside the beautiful gate. We don't actually know exactly what gate that was, but what we think is that this gate was a gate that was covered in bronze. It was a huge gate that allowed access into the temple. It was quite something to look at. But it's what this gate signified for this lame man that is important to note. You see, this gate for this lame man was a barrier. This gate signified to this lame man that he could not come into the temple, because in the Old Testament it's quite clear, anyone who has any kind of illness, any kind of physical deformity, could not enter the temple. He wasn't allowed in. So every day he would sit there beside this gate, having a little peek in to the temple, but never being able to go in. Never having the privilege of worshipping together with God's people. He calls out to Peter and John. They say, "Look at us." And he's there expectant for something. You can imagine, "Yes, I'm going to get some money." But you can also imagine his shoulders drop slightly as Peter looks at him and says, "Silver and gold have I none," as the song goes. You can just imagine him drooping his shoulders and thinking, "Oh." But Peter goes on. "But what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." He grabs him by the hand, and it happened. He was able to rise, to get up and walk. Now, we're so used to reading about miracles in the New Testament that we say, "Of course. Of course he's able to walk." But we don't really understand the significance of what's going on here. The human body, if you put a leg in a cast, for example, the muscles will lose about 12% of strength within a week. After 3 to 5 weeks, you've got about 50% strength left in your muscles. If you've had your arm in a cast, boys and girls, have you broken an arm or a leg and had your arm in a cast? Anyone here? Yeah. Some have, yes. Or even us grown-ups can remember. When it comes out of the cast, apart from the fact that it doesn't look very nice, what's happened to all the muscles? They're all skinny and wasted away, aren't they? Imagine what this man's legs would have looked like. Never, ever having walked. 40 years of being carried by people. But yet, what does Dr. Luke tell us? Here in verse 7. Peter took him by the right hand, raised him up, and immediately his feet and ankles were made strong. The muscles that he didn't have were all of a sudden big calf muscles. The legs that he'd never, ever walked on. And boys and girls, you've seen a baby trying to walk and how long it takes them to walk. Immediately this man could get up, and he wasn't just walking. He was leaping. He was jumping around. A tremendous miracle that has happened here. But it's not just a physical miracle that happens. There's also a spiritual miracle that happens. How do I know that? Well, we read that he's praising God here in our passage. But we also read in verse 16, and we didn't get to that this morning, we'll get to that, Lord willing, in a couple of weeks. Peter is talking about this man, and he says there in verse 16, "And his name," speaking of Jesus Christ, "by faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. And the faith that is through Jesus has given this man the perfect health in the presence of you all. This man also received spiritual healing through faith, through the power of Jesus' name, through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, through his death, through his resurrection, through the shedding of his blood, which we celebrate together this morning. This man also received spiritual healing. The same spiritual healing that we receive, brothers and sisters. The same miracle that happens in us if we belong to Jesus Christ, if the Holy Spirit takes our cold, dead heart of stone and makes it full of life, flowing, pumping, serving Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, that's the greatest miracle that each and every one of us need and have if we're in Jesus Christ. Is that something that you can say this morning? Can you say along with me this morning, yes? Yes, that miracle has happened in me. Yes, Jesus Christ is my Savior. But more than the spiritual healing of being in Jesus Christ, this miracle points also to the full, the complete spiritual healing that we will have one day. If you are like me, and every single one of you are like me in this way, you will know that you're not there yet spiritually. You still fight sin. We still fight sin every day, don't we? We fight the effects of sin in our own lives and also other people sinning against us. And while we grow through the Holy Spirit, we're not there yet. And this miracle is a sign of Jesus' continued power, of the kingdom of God continuing through the earth, also points us to that day, that wonderful day that Isaiah was talking about in the future, where we will be totally spiritually healed and clean, totally perfect. Yes, there's a taste of that now, but there is more, so much more coming. And this miracle not only points to our spiritual healing, it also, yes, points to the physical healing that we will have on that day as well. Many of us have been to the doctor, some more than others. And sometimes you go to the doctor and he says, oh, look, I've got a pill for that. Take some of these and you'll be fine. But sometimes when you go to the doctor or the specialist says, well, I'm sorry, but you're just going to have to live with it. You're just going to have to carry those ankles with you for the rest of your life. That difficulty with breathing, that may well continue for the rest of your life. The back pain, the stiffness in the morning, you might just have to put up with it. But there is a day coming when we won't have to put up with it anymore, brothers and sisters. We'll be able to leap and run like this man did here in Acts chapter 3. No more knees, backs, ankles, shoulders, wrists, fingers, neck. You get the picture. No more troubles mentally. No more struggles physically. This miracle here in Acts 3 points us to the healing that we will have, the complete healing, when our Savior Jesus Christ returns. When we won't have to just put up with it anymore. Are you looking forward to that day? Are you looking forward to that day? How did this man respond to this miracle that happened in his life? Well, this man responds with joy. And that's our second point this morning. Jesus' gifts brings joy. How did this man respond? How would you respond after 40 years of not being able to walk? You'd respond the same way that this man did. In verse 8, leaping up, he stood and began to walk. He entered the temple with them. So we know now that that's significant, isn't it? He's able to enter the temple that he could only just look at for 40 years. Now he could walk in with them. And he wasn't just walking, he was trying out his new legs. He was walking, he was leaping. He was praising God. Joy not only in his physical healing, but joy in the spiritual healing, in his newfound faith in Jesus Christ. A picture of the joy of a new Christian. Now, not all of us have grown up in the faith. I know a number of you have come to Jesus Christ later on in life. And when you do so, there's a joy that you find, isn't there? A joy and an enthusiasm that you have. You want to tell people about it. You want to show people what you're learning, what you know. And even if you haven't experienced that yourself, you know someone who has. And that joy is contagious, isn't it? As they want to share with you what they've been reading in the Bible, the new insights, the new things they're learning, and try and keep them away from God's people. Try and keep them away from church. But what happens? Over time, that joy declines. Sometimes it declines a little. Sometimes it declines a lot. Life gets in the way. The joy that was a fire and a rumble becomes just a little murmur. The struggles of life, the struggles of relationships, the financial worries, the worries about the future, and the reality that you come to grips with that sin doesn't go away when you become a Christian. It's a struggle that you carry with you. And some of us here this morning are saying, I'd love to have even just a little bit of that joy. Some of us, many of us, have grown up in Christian homes where the joy of the Christian life wasn't on display from our parents. It wasn't on display from our grandparents. It just wasn't something that you talked about. You didn't talk about your faith. You didn't talk about your emotions, feelings, if I can put it that way, as something that we just don't do and discuss. I'd like some joy. Can I have joy in my Christian life? Well, boys and girls, tell me, what is the second fruit of the Spirit? Can someone tell me? Joy. It's joy, isn't it? Joy is the gift, is the fruit of the Spirit. Every single one of God's people can have joy and should have joy. So how do we increase our joy? How can we be more joyful? Well, the first thing to do is look at joy killers. What are the things that kill our joy? The world will tell you there are so many things that can bring you joy. Just get enough money. Just find the right job. Just find the right person to spend your life with. But if that's the case, you're looking in the wrong place. If you find your joy, if you find your happiness, if you find your hope in how much money you have, and how many children you have, and how wonderful a relationship you have, and how successful you are, you're looking in the wrong place. But aren't we tempted to do that? Aren't we tempted to find our happiness, our joy, in the things that we want? Now, not that any of those things themselves are bad. But if this is where we place our hope, then they are never ever going to give us lasting joy. They will only disappoint. Another joy killer, of course, is simply sin. If you're living in a certain sin and you're refusing to deal with it, you can't expect any joy in your life. But how do we increase our joy? How can we increase the joy that we have in our life, the joy that we have as a Christian? We can increase our joy by reflecting on the miracle that we've already begun to speak about. The miracle that we have in our lives because of Jesus Christ. We don't need to increase our joy. We don't need to get out there and be more joyful. No, we need to reflect on our Savior, Jesus Christ. We need to remind ourselves of what he has done for us. Of the miracle that's happened in our lives. What we have in Jesus Christ. And brothers and sisters, we have in Jesus Christ every single thing that we need. He has given us the most important thing. A right relationship with our Father. He has given us eternal life. So we can come to God. We can say with the psalmist as he prayed, increase my joy. Restore to me the joy of my salvation. And if you're not in Jesus Christ this morning, if you're still out there looking for happiness somewhere or in something, let me save you the trouble. You're just not going to find it. You will not find fulfillment in your life. You will not find ultimate fulfillment in anything else in your life if you do not have Jesus Christ. I guarantee it. And those aren't my words. Those are God's words in his word. Happiness, joy, fulfillment, healing spiritually, ultimate healing physically can only be found in Jesus Christ. The man in Acts chapter 3 had that joy. He found fulfillment. He found happiness. He found a gift that he hadn't been looking for in Jesus Christ through Peter. But as he responded in joy, as he praised God for what he had given him, it didn't go unnoticed by the crowd. And that brings us to our third and final point this morning. Jesus' gift brings healing, it brings joy, and finally, it brings wonder. It didn't go unnoticed by the crowd. They saw him walking and praising God. This isn't a sight that you'd be able to miss if you were in the temple on that day. People were noticing and they were talking about him. They recognized him as the one, verse 10, who sat at the beautiful gate of the temple asking for alms. This is the guy, isn't he? He looks like the guy. Are you sure that's him? Yes, that's definitely him. I saw him there yesterday and he was put there by his friends. He couldn't walk one bit, but look at him now. What's going on? What's happened? What's the reason for this miracle? Now, this miracle gives Peter and John, and Peter especially, in verses 11 and following, the opportunity to explain what's going on. To talk to the people there, and we're going to look at that, as I said, Lord willing, in a couple of weeks. But what I want you to focus on this morning in this section here is that people noticed. People noticed. This man couldn't keep what had happened to him quiet. He wanted to tell everyone. It's like that for us, isn't it? If you remember, if you've had your first child, the birth of your first child, and you're out there and you want to tell everyone. You want to tell everyone if you're a grandparent or if you're an uncle or an auntie. You want to show people pictures. It's no different for this man. People wanted to know what was going on. They saw his joy was infectious. They asked why and how, what's happening here? All the people, verse 11, utterly astounded, ran together. A crowd formed. It should be no different for us, brothers and sisters. The joy that we have because of what's happened for us in Jesus Christ should also be something that others should see in us. And as we have that joy, we will be given opportunities to speak to others about who and what Jesus Christ is for us. Does that mean we need to Bible bash everyone we see and tell them, whether they want to know or not, who Jesus Christ is? Go and tell everyone. No. Does that mean we need to preach to everyone? Yes, if we can, if we have opportunity to do so, especially as we grow and develop relationships with them. That's what we've been looking at in Acts as our theme verse, isn't it? To go and be witnesses of Jesus Christ throughout the whole earth. That's our job we've been learning as a church. We're called to do this. But not only through the words we speak. In Matthew 5, the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says this: "You are the light of the world." Matthew 5, verse 14. "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." Notice how your light shines. Verse 16. They see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. But I don't know what to say. I'm afraid that I might say the wrong thing. Well, those things may be true, but remember that we have God's promise of help. We have the promise of his Holy Spirit to help us as we go and live and proclaim the joy that we have in Jesus Christ. And simply, as we live, people will and do notice. Even when we don't know, don't mean for them to notice, opportunities will come up. I remember a number of years ago working as a physiotherapist and treating a patient in the therapy pool. And when you're doing that, you spend a fair bit of time with someone. A session would last for half an hour as you're getting them to do their exercise, so you get to talk about things. And one day, out of the blue, he asked me, he said, "Why are you so happy?" I was a bit taken aback. I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "Well, you're always smiling. Nothing seems to get you down. What is that with you?" And here was the perfect opportunity to explain my joy and explain the hope that I have in Jesus Christ. Except I blew it. I mumbled something about how I was blessed in life and I had a wonderful family and things were going well in life. But I don't know how God could and would use that. And I can be sure that if God means for this man to come to the gospel, my failure there at that time won't stop him coming. But people do see. People do notice. And people will ask. So our encouragement this morning is to pray that the joy that we have, and we do have that joy, will grow. That the joy that we have will show so that people ask us questions. And we should pray for the opportunities to be able to interact and tell people about the wonderful hope that we have. But just be careful as you do pray that. Because as you pray for those opportunities will come to speak about that hope. This morning, as we look at the miracle of the lame beggar, we're reminded of the healing that is given us in Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, we're reminded of that again shortly as we come together to the table. That Jesus Christ's blood paid for all of our sins. That there is a time coming where we will feast with Jesus Christ in heaven and we won't have any physical struggles. We will have no more spiritual struggles. The reality of how God sees us now as perfect, as holy and righteous because of Jesus Christ will be a reality that we'll feel, live and breathe as we spend time with each other and our Saviour. We can look forward to that day, and that miracle this morning reminds us of that day coming. We can have joy. We do have joy because of Jesus Christ. And that joy, brothers and sisters, we can pray that God would increase our joy, grow our joy, but also that he would help us to show our joy so that others see us walking, leaping, praising God. And I know I'm not suggesting that that's what you have to do when you're walking down High Street in Rangiora, but other people will see and notice and ask, tell me about your wonderful Saviour. Tell me about Jesus Christ. Let's pray now for those opportunities. Let's pray for joy. Let's give thanks for the healing that God has given us. Pray together with me, please. Gracious God and Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for that miracle of healing that has taken place as you have claimed us as your own in Jesus Christ. We thank you for the work of your Holy Spirit that makes that reality true in our lives. Lord, the greatest work you have done on this world, bar none, is sending your Son to die on the cross for us. The greatest work of your Son is dying for us so that we can have life. Lord, we thank you for that day that is coming when we will have no more struggles. Help us in our struggles to look forward to that day. Give us strength. But also, Heavenly Father, give us joy. We thank you for the joy, the true joy that we can have if we are in you. Increase our joy, we pray. And increase our joy so that we may show that to others, so that others may come and know about you. Lord, we pray for opportunities to talk about the hope that we have, the joy that we have in Jesus Christ. We pray this, knowing that you will be with us, knowing that your Holy Spirit gives us the words to say, and when we don't say the right words, we know that you are still in control, that your Holy Spirit is working in people's hearts. It's not some magic formula that we have to say to people, but that you simply use us. And in fact, we thank you that you use us even through our failures. Give us joy this morning, we pray. Thank you for the hope that we have in Jesus Christ, and help us to share that joy with others. In Jesus' name, amen. We look forward to the day when we can sing together with joy to our Saviour in heaven. We sing of that joy too in number 22. It's not in your Sing to the Lord book, so the words will be up on the screen. Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing. So let's stand and sing praises to our Saviour and our God for the miracle he has worked within us. Let's stand and sing together.